Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Want a second shot at that so bad. Welcome to the show, everybody. Good morning. Hope your Monday's treating you good. Got your host, James, here. I'm joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Oh, no.
I'm here.
Sorry.
Oh, there we go. There she is. All right.
Hello.
Mel is with us. Good to have you here. We, of course, have our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habagger.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Let's kick things off the way we like to with our friend Brittany, talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning. I feel like Mother Nature's kicking us a little bit right now.
Yeah. How was your weekend, Brittany?
It was pretty good. I soaked up the sunshine. I got outside quite often. You know, fixed the car a little bit. Did some work.
Right.
How about
on,
you guys?
Right.
Yeah. Got to spend some time by the river. My kids did a little fishing actually this weekend.
Oh, nice.
So yeah.
That's awesome. I did some painting.
It's so relaxing.
Yes.
Painting.
Nice.
Very good.
That sounds really
set,
nice.
Set painting. Fun painting. I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Of course.
Good to hear. Brittany, what is it looking like the next couple of days? I have my weather bingo card right here. I'm just waiting when I can click.
All right. Well, we've got a few things we can definitely check off that bingo card. So today we've got blustery, colder temperatures. Temperatures right now are at 31 degrees, so we're below freezing. And you slap the wind chill on top of that, it's really feeling about 19 degrees outside right now. So pretty blustery. Winds are gusting at about 30 to 35 miles per hour out of the north. It's flinging a few flurries around, too. I'm snowing right here in Wausau at the moment. We've got those chances throughout the afternoon. No accumulations are expected, but just if you see some white stuff flying around, don't be surprised. But it'll be gone by tomorrow. We've got plenty of sunshine tomorrow. High temperatures will be in the low 40s. And then we get a little bit of a wintry mix Wednesday morning before we warm things up above freezing. It'll turn to regular rain in the afternoon with highs in the upper 40s. And we just keep climbing. We get warmer into the low 50s on Thursday, mid-50s on Friday. And we are going to be flirting with 70 degrees by the time we are hitting Sunday.
Right.
So,
wow.
Yeah, gorgeous
spring,
weather ahead.
Finally.
Don't let the flurries bother you.
All right. Take it in stride.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good.
Spring in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Sounds pretty good. We're just going to go right now. We're going to end on that. That's great. We appreciate you, Brittany. You have a good morning.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, Brittany.
Best in the business right there from Brittany Merlot, joining us every all day, Monday, all week, this week, right in that time slot. We appreciate it. We got fun things lined up for you, everybody. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner. Looking forward to that. We'll also be getting into it being National Beer Day.
Beer.
We'll get some stats for you on that one, and we will have a theme of that going into the kitchen's open
that
today
is
at
9 o'clock.
Oh,
more beer talk today.
Beth will be joining us around 9. We'll be doing the kitchen's open then, and after that, we will have our friend Tom joining us with our monthly veterans update.
Very cool. Very
looking
good.
Forward to it. A little bit of entertainment news and some other fun stuff in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll be getting into. Wanted to touch on random things everyone experiences but never talks about.
Never.
We don't talk about Bruno.
No.
Coming up. Nice. Coming up here in a little bit, we'll get into all of that. But for right now, one of the most popular tourist attractions in San Francisco is Lombard Street, the crookedest street in the world.
Yes, it is.
I actually did I wouldn't say it was a marathon. I was a part of a run.
Okay.
A half K, if you will, around that. And the object was to run up and run back down.
Oh, on Lombard Street. Okay, yeah.
The people that were with me on the way up were not there the way down. Like, they were there when I saw them coming back.
Yeah.
But, like, it started out with, like, 30 or 40 of us, maybe, and there was maybe 20 people by the way we were coming back down. But it was fun. I thought it was awesome. Like, I wasn't trying to, like, break any times or anything
right.
like that. I just wanted to experience it. And I honestly was drawn there just for this road.
Yes.
It's a road that we've all
very
seen.
Very famous.
You know,
all the
TV
flowers.
Shows,
yeah.
Movies, all that. So I just wanted to check it out. It's very cool. So this is, again, the crookedest street in the world. There's a street in Philadelphia area that has a new zigzagging pattern. The road itself itself isn't different, but the lines were repainted so that the lanes are wavy.
I saw pictures of this. It looks ridiculous.
Both the double yellow line in the middle along with the white edge lines.
Hmm.
There's a sign warning drivers of, quote, the new pattern, and the idea is that this will, quote, slow people down. But the locals are confused.
Understandably so.
Can just real quick pause.
Yeah.
You're going to do this. You're going to try this out. And you choose Philly? You choose Philadelphia.
Yeah. Man.
I mean, shout out to Philly. Nothing against it. Anything like that. Never been there. But I think that it doesn't matter if you've been there or not. 2 seconds, you need to know a couple things about Philadelphia and people from Philly.
Right.
I don't know if this was the best idea.
Maybe Des Moines would have been a better choice. Yeah.
Police say neighbors were complaining about people driving too fast, and apparently this traffic calming measure was the fix.
Mm.
They say, quote, our traffic engineers have determined that this is the best course of action for the area to ensure the safety of local residents.
Okay.
Locals are not impressed. They're calling it ridiculous, awkward, weird. I don't know. I don't do a good Philly accent. An eyesore.
It's close.
Even worse, it might not even work. One person says, I mean, right now, everyone is just driving through the middle of it.
Right. You just drive straight because the road itself isn't changed, just the painted lines.
Right.
Others have wondered why this was the solution instead of speed bumps, signs, or flashing lights. But it looks like the zigzag is sticking around, at least for now.
Hmm.
They're doubling down, basically, new thing that people do. Nobody admits when they're wrong anymore. Well, just completely double down and triple down and quadruple down. And I like anytime you're going to try something and see, you know, give it a shot. See what this can do when it comes to not hurting people, harming or anything like that. And I think that when it comes to our speed laws and, traffic incidents, you know, they don't stop. So what can we do to help this?
Right.
I think that's a great idea. What's happening here in town with, over at the school and worrying about the parking lot over in Mead and everything and then changing that up so that it's safer for kids.
Right.
Like anything we're doing here to try to make things better and safer, I'm going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like, you know, you get a bunch of people in a room that have never driven before, and like everybody, write on the wall your ideas. There's no bad ideas. Everybody, and like after like 2 days of doing this, this is what they came up with. This is all they had. It doesn't feel like the greatest idea.
No, and I can hear the pitch. Do you guys remember when we were learning how to drive and they set up the cones in the parking lot and you had to like maneuver around the cones?
Yeah.
Let's do that on the road, but with paint.
Yeah.
Because then you can't run over the cones.
It feels like, how do we slow drivers down? Let's confuse them.
Well, that may work.
I mean, yeah, they're going to be going slower because you've never seen anything
going on
like
here,
this before. I mean, it has a shelf life, but I mean, it's worth a shot.
Or
they want to just pull more people over. You were swerving all over the road.
Right.
Officer, I was following the lines.
What do you mean? So confused. I don't know about that.
Actually, I like Melissa's idea. Maybe go with standing, not cones, but like orange poles. Mm-hmm. But they're flexible, so they, you know, if you knock them down, they pop back up again. So if you maybe people slow down for
those. Take out your undercarriage as you drive over them.
Well, no, that's after you. If you accidentally, you're not supposed to hit them.
So I'm wondering if part of this, because I think that there were some good questions brought up by the community and everything of why they didn't go with the traditional, speed bumps or
speed shelves.
Yeah.
If you've seen those. Yeah.
And I think I got it. Just looking at the diagram here, this is a lot cheaper.
That's true. Paint is a lot cheaper than putting up more cement.
Than reconstructing the road.
Exactly. Yeah. That's true.
I imagine that's part of it. Yeah. Budget wise. And you know, I don't know a vehicle that's dexterous enough to be able to, and I don't know if that's a word, to be able to move around this stuff or anything. You got to be Allen Iverson to be able to flip around this stuff.
Which is very good for Philly. I mean, it's called the Allen Iverson Road.
There we go. There we go. There is no answer. That's it. I'm curious to see where this one goes.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be following along on that
Besides
story.
Being, you know, being laughed at all across
All the morning shows, you know, doing this. Right.
Oh, can you imagine what they're saying in Philadelphia about this? I want to know what their morning shows are doing with that.
Oh, boy.
Because we're just laughing about it. I guarantee.
Can you believe that?
People are calling in.
There is no way you can convince me that they're like, you know what? This is cool. Like, there's no way that Philadelphians are being that way about it. I wanted to wrap up the open monologue here on a good note, and I think this is a pretty cool one. I came across this weekend, so for those that have already heard about this out there, this may be old news to you, but this comes to us from the goodnewsnetwork.org. You can check it out yourselves, goodnewsnetwork.org. Just head on over there and check out this awesome article about the headline, "A Treetop Walkway Perched Above Zoo Animals in Minnesota is Winning Awards and Hearts."
What?
This thing is amazing. There is no better way to observe and enjoy wildlife than when you are above it, like almost a bird's eye view.
Wow.
And they're hoping to create these conditions at the Minnesota Zoo. The administration has converted an old monorail track into a pedestrian walkway that's winning awards.
Wow.
Now, did I bring all of this up so I could reference the Simpsons monorail episode and do a bunch of bits with that? No.
Probably.
No.
Oh, no.
Only because it didn't work. I just couldn't get my computer. No. It opened in 2023. The Treetop Trail was recently called the best specialty construction of the year by Engineer News Record.
Wow.
The Treetop Trail gives guests year-round access to hundreds of acres of hardwood forest, ponds and marshes, and the diverse wildlife that call Minnesota home, while simultaneously providing new perspectives on many zoo animals, including tigers, moose, and bison.
How about that?
Opened in 1978 with a completed monorail in 79, the Minnesota Zoo would eventually decommission its overhead transport line in 2013, leaving the rusted track and platforms to do little more than just shade visitors.
Mm.
Snow Krekalik Architects and PCL Construction turned the monorail into the world's longest elevated pedestrian treetop walkway.
Wow.
That's awesome.
What a great idea.
Measuring 8 feet of the entire length, it has several platforms that stretch far from the main concourse and which allow visitors to gaze down at the large enclosures containing flagship species.
Wow.
And it is just beautiful. Now, in Chicago, they did something kind of similar with this, where they built a walkway and pathway area so that you can enjoy some of the city life with a little nature.
Right.
And it's great for walkers, joggers, a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bit more ambitious and a little, cooler. It's a very, like some of the pictures I'm seeing and everything, I want to go check it out right now.
Yeah, it's really great. And I just realized, I remember the monorail when I went to the Minnesota Zoo when I was a kid. Because that was right in the time that did, and now I didn't even realize they'd gotten rid of it. It's been that long, but wow, that's a great reuse of something
that's what I was going to say too.
I mean, it's there anyway, and you don't want to have to just demolish it because you know what's the point of that? Just reuse it. Wow, great idea.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, one of the few personal conversations I actually had with Conan O'Brien, I worked there for about almost a year, but I didn't really have a lot of one-on-one with him or anything like that. We were all in a writing's room, and he's in, he's out, he's busy, all that. But I did make sure that before I left to thank him for the opportunity and for the monorail episode that he wrote for The Simpsons. Because it was his idea.
It was his
written episode and everything. Do I need to take that back? Did he steal that idea from Minnesota's park here and everything?
Probably did. But still, no. I like the idea, yes.
I love this. I want to check this out real bad. I encourage you to check out all your local zoos. We got our own Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo that's going to be opening up real soon, everybody.
Yeah.
Check out that and support your zoos. We will take a time out and we'll come back with our own zoo. Where we have
the morning zoo show.
Yes, yes. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you tomorrow to head on over there to El Cafe. They'll be back open and ready for you for the week tomorrow. So go ahead and right now, I think a good idea would be to go to elcafewi.com, elcafewi.com. Check out their menu, get some plans, and then be prepared to let them all go when you see their new specials.
Their amazing specials.
A big shout out to our friends over over at El Cafe, not only with that great menu and the amazing prices that they make affordable for people and families to be able to go there and everything, but so many different things that they do in this area, mm-hmm. whether it's helping raise funds for locals or the story time with Kathy McGrath or any mm-hmm. of these cool things that they're doing over there. I feel hesitant to call them a restaurant. There's so much more than that. But they are definitely a restaurant, and they are one of the better ones you're going to find, everybody.
Man, this mm-hmm. is what you hope you see with community businesses, is that it's about, you know, they got to make a living, of course, but mm-hmm. it's about the community. It's about how to make the surrounding area as good as it can be. And man, mm-hmm. are they good at that there. Oh,
and
so
Fidel said that was what, you know, he wanted to do mm-hmm. when he did end up opening it, is to make it a community center, a place where people can gather and sit and enjoy each other's company and build up the community.
That's right.
Well done, Fidel. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. You can about check that mark.
I think you did.
We appreciate our friends over there. Head on over there tomorrow to 21 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards and get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating mm-hmm. with you. You can email us, info@wfhr.com. You can also, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can use the Civ Media app or call up or any.
That's right. And the number to call if you don't have the Civic Media app is 715-424-2600. If you have the app, it's free, by the way. You can just push a button and call us. It's yeah. like magic.
It's like magic.
You don't have to remember numbers.
It's mm-hmm. magic.
Give us a call, everybody. We'd love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
And we got two possible qualifiers today. Seth, I need a one or a two.
Two.
All right. Gives us that qualifier.
The first name on our list, we wish a very happy birthday, the kickoff of the week, to Jay Putter.
Happy birthday, Jay.
Happy birthday, Jay.
Enjoy the Jay.
Day Jay. Ooh, that's tough. Yeah.
Enjoy the Jay Day.
Hope it's a good one for you.
It's Jay Day.
It's going to be that Monday, everybody. If you couldn't tell from the opening intro, it's going to be that kind of Monday. And we also want to wish a happy birthday to our qualifier, Ron Bone.
Happy birthday, Ron.
Ooh, stereo.
It's a good name.
Yeah, it's a real good name. Yes. A couple of great names to kick off mm-hmm. the week. Thanks a lot for getting us those, everybody. And a shout out to Jay and Ron. And Ron, you're mm-hmm. a qualifier today.
Yeah, congratulations.
We take a look at our celebrity list. Tiki and Rondi Barber are 50.
Wow. Mm. Man. I forgot they were twins.
Yeah.
I knew they were brothers, but I totally forgot they were twins. Oh, man.
Great athletes. Great yes. athletes. Did okay.
Okay, that's why I haven't heard of them.
Yes, yeah,
what are you talking about?
I actually expected to see them more in doing more talk, mm-hmm. but I feel like they kind of got into that early, and more voices have come up that, I don't mean to be a jerk, but are better. And there's a lot of former athletes.
Tiki, yeah.
And now every former athlete is looking at this as their, you know, 401k, their right. retirement plan.
Yeah, you get their podcast out there, right?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to think of how competitive it is, and most of us see the stats of how many high school kids go on to college, how many college athletes go on to the pros, mm-hmm. and that and everything. I wonder what the stats will be of the pro athletes that stay in sports. Mm. And that are able to stay in sports, because mm-hmm. I think you could make the argument it's almost just as competitive, if not more, to after your playing career yeah. if you want to stay as a commentator or a talking head or anything mm-hmm. like that in the business, because there's so many people that are trying to do that.
Right.
And there's only so many jobs.
Right.
There's only basically two sports networks.
Exactly.
Okay, but I'm more interested to know how many twins there are in sports that play the same sport.
Oh, see, now that would be interesting. Interesting.
Good question.
Yeah. That's an excellent question.
And the fact that they were born 5 weeks premature.
Whoa. I didn't know that.
Didn't know that one.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Holy cow. Hmm. They were both very good, too, at what they did. So.
And identical. Yeah. And
yes.
handsome mm-hmm. as the day is long.
Yeah,
they're both very good looking.
Yeah, yes. definitely handsome, yeah. Bill Bellamy is 60, former MTV VJ, and tried acting a little bit, but he was a stand-up comedian, mostly.
Very good.
Russell Crowe is 61.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good actor. He's a good actor.
Yeah, he is.
Don't take yourself so seriously,
yeah,
Russell.
He's
a diva. It's his birthday. I'll just move on. He's fine.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. I would much rather spend time on Jackie Chan, who is 71 today.
Woo, Jackie Chan.
Wow. Mm. That man is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Just mentioned him last week that maybe one of the last acting chances we're going to see from him, because he's pretty much retired
now. He has, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He always warned us that he was going to do this when he couldn't do his own stunts anymore.
That's
that
right.
That was when he knew he was going to retire. But he is in the new, he's got a big part in the new Karate Kid Legends. Mm-hmm. It looks like they're trying to combine all the Karate Kid universes and everything. And I don't know. I haven't watched that since the first one, but to be honest with you. But I don't mind the franchise. I think it's cool, and I love that they're incorporating people like Jackie Chan, as well as the old, like Ralph Macchio and some of that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that TV show, man, that TV... like
Cobra Kai? Yeah, that's very popular. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. Hugely popular.
Yeah.
Let's take a call quick. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have another birthday. Jeff Stoner, who used to live here in Wisconsin Rapids and work with us at the radio station.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Down in Texas now. So he was happy. We live in Texas.
Yeah, we want to wish Jeff a very happy birthday. Pam. You just spoiled it. I appreciate that.
Maybe I forgot to put it on the list.
No, you got it on here. You're the best. Of course you got it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, Pam. We'll see you
soon.
Thank you,
Pam.
We'll see you soon. Yeah, I was going to wrap there, but I will say Jeff worked here for a very, very long time. This community, the businesses out here know Jeff. Mm-hmm. One of the better salespeople that we've had here in our history at WFHR, but just one of the better people. Just a good guy. Just a good guy. I have a hard time believing anybody out there can't agree with me.
But is that his real name, by the way? Stoner?
Yes.
I love that. That's great.
Great name.
That's his real name.
Got all great names today, apparently.
Yeah, really?
A lot of great names. Jackie Chan, 71. Happy for 71st to him. One of the greatest.
I have to say, he had a really remarkable career. We never got to see him in American movies at his peak when he was making movies over in Hong Kong, I think it was.
Yeah.
But he's second only maybe to Bruce Lee of having that kind of international star.
Yeah.
From really obscurity kind of thing.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Tony Dorsett, a 71 NFL Ooh. Hall of Famer.
Kind of a forgotten running back,
yes,
Tony is.
Yeah. I don't know if he did at one point have the longest run from scrimmage in NFL history.
I think it's still, because it was 99 yards.
Yeah, I think you can only tie it. John Oates is 77, Hall and Oates legend. A lot of hits for Hall and Oates.
Yes.
A lot of hits. Francis Ford Coppola is 86, one of the greater directors of all time.
Yep.
The Godfather Part II, Apocalypse Now, The Outsiders, Rumblefish, The Cotton Club, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Megalopolis. Oh, wait, no one liked that one, but I don't know.
Peggy Sue Got Married. It's odd. You see all these big, The Outsiders, Rumblefish, The Cotton Club.
Yeah.
Peggy Sue Got Married. Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's interesting. Fantastic director. And one of the things I give him credit for, not only with that bomb of Megalopolis, he put his own money in it.
Yeah.
And made it himself and wanted it that way and owned the fact that he might not understand what audiences want anymore, that he got that. Like, all these directors, even and many ones that I look up to, just cannot seem to get out of their own way and just whine and complain about modern audiences and modern filmmaking and superhero movies and blah, blah, blah. And Francis Ford Coppola, one of the few, along with Christopher Nolan and a couple of others, have come out and said, look, thank you. You're getting people to want to come to theaters. You're getting people to want to come to movies. Mm-hmm. For every person that goes to see a superhero movie, they see a poster for something else.
Right.
And end up wanting to maybe come back and see it or something like that. Or they see a trailer for it in the beginning of the superhero movie and makes them want to go see it when it comes out on video or something like that or download or whatever.
You got it.
I appreciate that.
I mean, it's the movie he wanted to make, and he made it. And that's great. I love it. The fact that he could do that.
Some people no longer with us, like James Garner, born in 1928, passed away in 2014. Jim Rockford in the Rockford Files. Yes.
Before that, he was Brett Maverick in the Maverick TV show.
Great actor.
Spokesman for Beef.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And of course, not his last role, but one of his last roles in The Notebook.
Yes, that's right.
And one of his better performances, man, that movie. And Ravi Shakur, born on this day in 1820, passed away in 2012. Unofficial godfather of Indian music.
Yep. Especially the sitar. Yep.
And the actual father of Norah Jones.
Yes, that is correct.
He
taught so many. In the 60s, he taught so many guitarists, especially British bands, how to play sitar. I mean, even just for that, You got to give him credit. You got to give him credit for that.
Integral to the Beatles and to many other artists of the time.
Rolling Stones and a few others. Yep.
Yeah, I think you can. Yeah, I think you can make the argument. You mentioned him earlier, so that maybe that's why I'm thinking of it. But what Bruce Lee did with martial arts in America and to people who were not of Asian culture,
right?
I think Ravi did a little of that with
Indian music. Yeah. Absolutely, he did.
Really opened it up for the whole world and everything. That's groundbreaking. I hadn't thought of that before, but that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Everybody out there, happy birthdays, anniversaries to all of you celebrating. We're wishing you the best of days and joy. And if you got a birthday or anniversary coming up, get it to us, everybody. We love celebrating with you.
We do.
Shout out to El Cafe sponsoring this segment. We appreciate them. Head on over there tomorrow at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. We'll be back with more fun coming up on The Morning Show. Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Show, everybody, here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk about National Beer Day. Got some stats to go along with it in a moment. But first, I brought this up earlier today, and I wanted to get to it, our weekend. And I know, Melissa, you had a pretty busy weekend along with a lot of cities in our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were protests that took place all over the country, but there were a lot of them in Wisconsin. I've seen postings, Manitowoc, Union Grove, of course, here in Wisconsin Rapids, over in Stevens Point. And there were more, I believe, than just what were actually organized, you know?
Wow.
It's the Hands Off was the name of the protest.
Okay.
That took place all across the country, and that is an actual organization where they're promoting peaceful protests. They have certain guidelines for people to follow, and it was really interesting to see everybody just get out in the street. These were bigger protests. More people turned out for this than in 2017 for the Women's March.
Wow.
There were millions of people who were out in the streets over on Saturday.
Wow. Amazing.
Oh, always in favor of peaceful protest and appreciate what they do with that organization. And I think it's noteworthy, too. One of the things that stood out to me about this is how many people that were there wasn't anything necessarily political about this as far as, representing a certain party or anything like that. I saw representation from both parties in a lot of this. And I think that is noteworthy when it comes to this, along with the idea of people taking their Saturday to do this.
Right.
And is there a little bit of joke in that? Yes. But it's also a note to this, to the point of this.
Right.
And everything. And how important it was to all of us and to people in particular that were at this event.
Yep.
And the variety of issues that people were speaking out about, VA benefits. For obviously women's rights, keep your hands off my body, LGBTQ plus rights, but also things saying, deport Elon Musk, kings in America.
Right.
So
protect Social Security, right?
Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, colleges. I mean, there is pretty much just about everything. No tariffs.
Right.
Don't tariff on me.
And there were some great signs, too, I got to say.
There were some great signs. Funny ones, yes, too. There were some. Honestly, my favorite has to be, I'm so angry I made this sign.
That was good.
That was my favorite.
My favorite was, so many issues, so little cardboard.
Yes. That
was
I saw multiples of that one as well.
I saw one that was, even introverts are coming out.
That's so bad. Even introverts are here.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
I love the creativity. It's great.
I want to make something really clear on the air here, because this is not going to be the last time this is going to come up or anything like that. When I talk about the sad clown from out of this country, the Elon guy and everything, there's nothing political about this. He was not voted in. He did not run for office.
Nope.
He did not. He does not said he's a Republican or Democrat or even an American. For the matter,
that's right.
As a side note,
from South Africa.
So when I'm talking about him, there's nothing necessarily about that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a wannabe troublemaker, a wannabe tough guy, a wannabe different guy, like whatever he is, a wannabe genius. He's a wannabe genius. It doesn't take a lot of digging to see that he has not created anything. He has worked with people who have created things.
That's right.
But he has not himself created anything. Mm-hmm. He is a wannabe genius. Mm-hmm. He is a wannabe lot of things.
Yeah.
And when I'm talking about him, there's nothing political about it. It's about him and the sad human being that he is and how he has to take out that on everybody else.
Yeah.
Imagine being as rich and powerful as he is, and you're still that unhappy. You're still that you still want to hurt people that badly. That says a lot about, you know, I think
really
money
does.
In general and power, but
yeah,
also
it does.
That.
Yes.
Melissa, was there anything else that you want to touch on from that?
Well, just to echo your point there, I think Wisconsinites as a whole also agree that we don't want him interfering in our elections. We don't want him here to go away. you're not welcome.
And and this is where because we really work very hard at this show from the moment I got in this chair to today, and as long as I'm in this chair, forever long that lasts, work very hard to give you guys a break from politics, a break from life, and just have some fun, be a positive start to your day. We understand that the world today, there is no, Scott Krug and I were talking about this the other day, there is no more lines. Everything bleeds into each other. Sports into politics, politics into this.
Right.
It's all over the place now. So it's going to come up sometimes. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you what might be said, we're telling you, people who literally work at this station and are part of this station, if you like local radio, if you support what we're trying to do, and that is everything. Mm-hmm. That's bringing on high school sports. That's Midday Magazine, bringing on different people that, from the community that are not, it has nothing to do with politics.
No.
We're going to be talking about the 5K today. The Rapids today. We're going to be talking with the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center today. There's nothing political about that.
No.
We are not a political radio station. We are we support democracy. We're an information station, but that is what we do. Mm-hmm. And we do live on the air here. And if you support that, we encourage you to remind our community of that, remind the surrounding communities of this, promote what we're doing here, because we can't do it alone. All of you out there. This is a team effort. And this station has been here 80 plus years. We want you out there to help us keep it around another 80. Local radio matters.
85 years this year. Wow.
Wow, that's awesome. And then also, the involvement in the community and the focus on promoting what is locally happening here with local news. And you can help support that, too, just simply by signing up for our free newsletter, WFHR.com. Comes out every Thursday at noon. And it will include a wrap-up I wrote about the protests that happened all across Wisconsin with this week's edition.
All right. Very
She's
nice.
Good. She's good.
See, right on
that was
it. Right
really
on
good.
It,
That
man.
Was really good. It's important because of those things. It's important because of that information, whether it's sports or local politics or just events that are going on in the area. Mm-hmm. And where else are you going to hear us be able to talk about beer? Come on.
Beer.
We got two segments put aside today with
I
the kitchens
beer.
Open and this one. Come on. Today is National Beer Day, and if you are a beer drinker, you can celebrate by picking up an expensive 4-pack of double IPAs. No, I'm joking.
They're not cheap.
Just understand, and I say this with love to anybody out there that likes IPAs and all that. If you are going to get an IPA, understand that you are going to hear the description of that beer in its entirety before you drink it.
Yes.
You just understand that. Nobody ever did that, handing somebody a Miller Lite.
No.
You see what they did when they made this Miller Lite. No, that doesn't
happen. Because you don't need an explanation for colored water.
That's Coors. Now that's Coors.
Yeah, that's Coors Light.
I would say any light beer is just dirty water.
You aren't far off. You are not far off. The website Visual Capitalist recently crunched the numbers on the average prices of 24 packs of beer across the country. The state with the cheapest case of beer is Illinois.
Really?
Yeah. Hey.
Wow.
I don't get to shout that very often.
And you have to do it about beer. That's funny.
That's funny.
That's it. That's certainly not going to be able to do it about sports. The average price is $16.43.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That is surprising, since you'd think the states with the bigger cities would be more expensive, but that was just the case. Good luck getting a beer in a bar and down like off a state street or something like that.
Of course, yes. Yeah,
that's a lot different.
That would be a big
taking a mortgage.
Difference.
South Carolina was second cheapest, followed by New York State, Rhode Island, Kansas, Michigan, North Carolina, Arizona, Connecticut, and Virginia.
Wow.
Alaska was the priciest, with the average being $33.63.
Oh, great. Where you need it the most.
Right? Wyoming was second, followed by Hawaii, Montana, Tennessee, Vermont, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington.
Okay. So the West Coast, so if you're going out west, don't get beer. Oh, order something else. Lots of wine out there. Lots of, you know, wine out in California. So that's what you want to drink out there.
The drinking I did do out when I was out west and everything involved a lot of IPA. So it was actually even more expensive, I think.
Right, exactly. Oh, goodness.
So what about, of course, Wisconsin? Where does Wisconsin rank on this list? They only give you the top 10, but Wisconsin's average price was $19.62.
Okay. Yeah, it's in the middle somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds about right.
Didn't crack the top 10, but probably cracked top 15.
Yeah, I would say.
It looks like just glazing over this and everything. And I don't know if that's surprising or shocking or you know what you'd expect, because I don't know. This subject is just kind of interesting.
This is interesting because if you're buying, who buys beer by the case? I mean,
lots of people.
I mean, I guess a lot of people do.
Have you been in a grocery store?
That's true. That's true. But
everyone who just turned 21.
Got my natural light.
Should they make it a 21 pack?
Milwaukee Best.
The Milwaukee Best. Oh, Lord. Oh,
Red Dog.
Oh, no. Red Dog.
I'm just saying stuff that you drank when you were 21.
That's true. That's true.
Was it cheap?
Right.
You didn't go into the store like, I want this. No, where's the prices?
Yeah, exactly. Where's my Natty Light, right?
You get a 50 case for $2 of
my 30 can brick.
Red, white, and blue. You know, I know all the beer brands. I'm sure you do. I went to high school in Wisconsin. It's interesting. It's an interesting list. I don't know. I don't know what you really do with this other than maybe avoid, binge drinking in Alaska.
Don't do that.
Yeah. It sucks to turn 21 in Alaska, apparently.
Well, you need to drink, like the local stuff, like blubber whiskey or whatever they they make up there.
I want that as a blubber.
Whatever they drink in Alaska.
Whiskey.
We got to talk to the Inuit people. What do they drink for their alcohol?
It'll put hair on your chest.
It's probably some form of mead.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Mm-hmm.
That's very easy to make at home.
Yeah. And it's a hearty
doesn't
drink.
Doesn't require a still.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good point.
That is interesting. what's your go-to beer? Go ahead and let us know, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. Go ahead.
Nothing light.
We've heard from Melissa on this one. Yes.
Yeah. Feel free to... I like porters, stouts, and IPAs. My beer's got to have flavor if I'm going to drink it.
Well, those all do have pretty good flavor, I got to say.
Unless it's free at a wedding, then I'll drink Miller.
There you go. Yeah, I'm pretty much a Miller Lite guy, but I when they come up with that the Blue Moon,
Blue Moon.
I like that one.
That was a tasty beer.
It's got an October kind of thing feel to it or whatever taste to it. We will take a time out. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun. Morning Show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. We were just in our last segment talking about it being National Beer Day. Mm-hmm. Well, the other day it was National Handmade Day. Handmade Day.
Right.
Which celebrates the effort and dedication to handcrafted artsy and crafts.
Nice. Oh.
Not handmade in.
No. Handmade.
Made by hand.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I was very confused.
Especially, I think last week we talked about the Handmaid's Tale.
We did. It's coming back. Right. Yeah.
I apologize.
Very confusing.
It's hard to imagine anyone not appreciating a handwritten letter, and yet you're far more likely to get a DM on social media or a thumbs up emoji text.
Mm.
A recent poll asked, when did you last write a handwritten personal letter?
Wow.
9% of people say that they have written one in the past month, which was the most recent option. Mm. Another 21% said that they have written one in the past year, and another 26% say that they're pretty sure they've written one in the past decade. 26% of people say it's been longer than a decade, and 5% claim they've never written a personal letter.
Oh, jeez.
If that isn't crazy enough, 20% of Gen Zers between the ages of 18 and 24 said that they've never written a personal letter, and it was also the most popular answer. By comparison, only 2% of people 50 years or older say that they've never written a handwritten letter. Okay. But even that is shocking. I actually think that is more shocking the 2% of 50 plus that have never written a handwritten letter.
Yeah, that is.
Than the Gen Zers.
Yeah.
Gen Zers, I think we all saw that coming as soon as the topic came up. I feel like you could see that coming around the corner.
Surprising, both of my children have written handwritten letters to people. So that's that they I could check them off that list. So
I know my kids have. And they were thank you notes, but they've at least written letters and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say it's been at least has been in the last year that I've written a handwritten letter and mailed it.
I can't remember.
I will say that.
It's been longer than that for me.
For me it's been more than a decade. It has to have been, because I just can't remember.
Unless it includes, like, the little thank you note that I send with my rent every month.
No.
Doesn't count. Sorry.
Darn it.
No, it's got to be a letter, man.
Yeah, yeah. What constitutes a letter? What is the definition? It has to be, like, four, five sentences? I wonder. I'm actually curious about that.
I think it
I'll
has
look
to
that
be,
up on my own.
Right, yeah. I would say, because if it's, like, on a card, I always think of that as a note.
Yeah.
That's not a letter. I mean, you could have like letter type stuff in it, but it's a note, you know, to say things are going good, that kind of stuff. But a letter is like a letter, you know, mm-hmm. you're actually going more.
Dear James.
Right. Right.
As I sit here in my kitchen thinking about life in its esoteric fashion.
It was a cold and stormy morning.
Yeah.
So that's a great, interesting part of this and everything. And I don't think any of this is that surprising to anybody. But what I like doing it here is bringing up is, so we Terry and I...
You kind of have to have two things going.
We have an extra cast member.
Oh my God! Was that the ghost in the machine?
That was the ghost in the machine.
Talking to us now.
That was the ghost in the machine.
The ghost in the machine. My phone started making noises.
I was hoping it was something more darker than that, or more interesting than that.
God, Melissa's possessed. She's speaking a different voice.
It'd make an interesting show. Make an interesting segment. I mean, ratings. I mean,
the world is coming to an end, but we want our ratings.
What I think bringing this up does, hopefully, is similar. In some ways to, you know, Terry Johns and I have been talking the last couple of weeks about getting books and, you know, helping kids continue reading during summer. They've got a couple of great programs on that. We'll be talking more about it. But we do all this because kids aren't reading as much as they used to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a great effort being made towards that, of keeping kids literate and how important literacy is.
Yeah.
Should we be doing more about this? Should we be making more? Like, what about any, you know, there's a million serials out there. There's a million kid shows out there and everything. What about more of these shows, you know, encouraging kids? Hey, kids, I want you to grab a piece of paper and write a note right now or something along those lines.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you guys. I make myself, especially when it comes to my stories. Mm. Now, anything I'm doing for work here, every once in a while I write in pencil. But for the most part, it is on my laptop. Mm-hmm. But if I'm writing a poem or a story, I make myself write, like actually pencil and notebook paper.
Wow.
And I'm writing. Cool. I still do it to this day. In part because I don't want to lose cursive. I don't want to lose my writing. I already write bad enough. but also, there's something to me that I like doing. Mm-hmm. I will admit that I grew up kind of in my head romanticizing the quill and pen stuff and everything. And I think that that stuff's cool. I'd like to see us kind of incorporating some of that back. Like, I understand, you know, convenience, time. Sure. You're not going to, when things are so time sensitive, you're not going to send a handwritten letter. I get that. But when you can, when it isn't time sensitive, what would be the harm in encouraging the younger generation to do more of this? And actually, you know, I hate to say make them, but like our parents did many times with
encourage
thank you cards.
Encourage is
a better way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because it's...
Because often a lot of their connections, like you don't have pen pals necessarily now.
Not really
in the
anymore.
Same way that you did. I've seen it a little bit with like texting chains or things like that.
Sure.
But yeah, you don't have a pen pal that you write to that lives in another part of the world.
Right, right.
I don't see the downside.
No, you know, not really.
I don't see the negative to
and
this.
You made a great point, James. It's like it's something you don't use, you're going to lose, right? If you don't keep working on it, you're not going to, you know how to do it. So that's something that it's a nice thing to have.
And every 5 seconds, you're hearing somebody complaining about the younger generation and their heads in tablets and their heads in. Well, here you go. Get them out of it.
Yeah.
Here you go.
I mean, like, maybe they'll enjoy it. Who knows?
Keep in mind, they learned it from watching you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Dad.
Yeah. that commercial actually would work really good now. nowadays with just the internet, with just the amount of phone. It, the whole same commercial, they just splice in a phone instead. It's funny, but it's true. If you want kids to get their heads out of their phone, you want kids to write a letter or something like that, when's the last time you did it?
Yeah, right.
That's a good point.
Yeah. They learn
family
from
activity.
Us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's all sit down and write a letter.
Or go fishing, apparently. I broke up my tackle box for the first time in 25 years.
Whoa. So,
nice.
How did it smell?
Yeah, it was fine.
One thing I'm seeing that I am seeing, whether it's our generation or the one right above us or anything like that, that is getting a little tired to me and wearing very thin, is this idea of there's a problem. And I'm doing nothing about it, but I'm complaining,
I'm
going
to blame the next generation.
Yes, right. Yes. I don't like this. And how dare this happen to the younger generation? Blah, blah, blah. What are you doing about it? What are you doing other than barking?
Sitting and complaining.
Yeah. Right. Where are your solutions? How are you working to try to make things better? Where is your
reaching out to them, maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
Where's the positive on this? Because nothing gets done without a little bit of positive in it. Nobody responds well to being barked at.
No.
If you want to get something done, chances are you got to do it on your own levels first. You got to start with your own house. Mm-hmm. And if you want kids to write more, make them write letters. Make them make more things in the house of, mm-hmm. writing them out.
Exactly.
Or, even if it's just simple things.
Yeah.
You know, just a sentence right here or there. I don't see the, again, downside to it.
No.
Also,
except maybe a cramp in your wrist. That's it.
Yeah.
Hand need a cramps. I have a permanent callus on my ring finger on my right hand from writing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Really?
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back with the kitchens open. It's kicking off the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll have a monthly veterans update coming up on the morning show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming.